We present I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Leon Cohen, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Thank you. Well, we've got two teams tonight to take the euphemism out of panel games. Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And Timothy Brooke Taylor and William Rushton. And I'm paid to keep the score, which means they get me pretty cheap. The first round is called A New Musical Story, to distinguish it from the old musical story, which you don't want to hear again. This is a round in which I shall start off a story and then hand it over to a member of one of the teams. And as they take up the story, it says here, Leon Cohen will play a tune. Which is very wise. You don't expect him to just sit there, do you? No, the title of the tune that he plays, they must incorporate naturally into the story. They must then hand it over to a member of the opposing team in the same way. The whole thing is thoroughly elegant and gracious. Now, I'm going to throw the opening line of the story to you, Graham Garden. Suddenly the fog lifted and Mary gave a start of surprise.
Say frog. Suddenly, the frog lifted. Mary.
Pardon? Have it your way.
Oh, said the frog. And Mary gave a start of surprise. Out on a hill, an animal stood on its own. Mary and the frog looked through the window, and the animal seemed to be listening. I wonder, said Mary, what the lonely goat heard. Which the frog replied,
roll out. The frog replied. He had a toad in his throat. Roll out the barrel, he said, and I will wet my whiskers, and then I'll be able to speak properly. For today, I give my maiden speech.
Hooray!
In the House of Commons. This is a frog warning. Oh, you've got to be one jump ahead. Anyway. Oh, hopeless. Anyway. This speech will last 20 minutes, and I wish everybody to hear every moment of it. I shall start like this. Anna.
I shall start by kicking both my legs in the air, which will attract attention, said the frog. And then I shall exhort the house to give me the moonlight. Uh-huh. At this point, thank you. At this point, I may croak due to the lack of fiber in my tonsils and a man in my throat.
That's what I meant.
A lesser version of an earlier joke, but you know what politicians are. But then I shall go back to the hustings, a lovely couple, and I shall say to them, what this country needs is...
songs like that. What the muck they're serving up today. What we need are songs like Any Old Iron and Roll Out the Barrel, who was a wonderful woman.
So was Annie Old Iron, too.
Annie, of course. Wonderful. So,
yes,
this bird, were she to press her lips to... It's very unlikely that she would. And those of you who have kissed frogs will know, not even on the off chance they turn into something, is most remote. But were I to say to her, look.
And I were the only frog.
Nothing else would matter in the world today, said the frog, at which Mary, Her eyes suddenly misted, and she saw before her the frog of her dreams. Bending over him, gently, she kissed him on the top of his head. And suddenly...
She was leaning on a lamppost at the corner of the street, which is the way she made most of her living. And she explained to the magistrate, I kissed the frog. How was I to know it was going to be a prince when she woke up next morning? There's a version there somewhere. And the magistrate replied, Madam, am I expected to believe this? Because I have lived for a long time in...
Neasden. And as a magistrate in Neasden, I often used to say to defendants, picture you upon my Neasden and picture the fate that can, in fact... Thank you very much, better late than never. Picture the fate that can overcome you. The country is in a state of decadence. On all sides, we see morals decaying, standards debased. What is going to happen to this country? Are we all going to...
Live to the age of 64? It's bloody unlikely. And then he remembered the words of his old Chinese singing teacher. Who he had personally garrotted, so rotten was he. Better a frog in the throat than a toad in the hole.
Very good. Tim and Willie, 12 points, and Graham and Barry, only 3.
It's disgraceful.
This is where I introduce a round that's played at the end of the programme. So that the teams can have time to think of silly names for people arriving at the pharmacist's ball. The pharmacist's ball. And those of you listening at home might like to think up some names of your own to apply to this program. Anyway, the next game is called a right pair. And in this round, one team pretends to be a pair of something. Pepper and salt, or Muir and Norden, or whatever. Although whatever isn't a pair, I didn't see. They give the other team a clue, and they have 10 questions... to guess the answer. It's your turn, Barry and Graham, to help the other side to earn a few points. Meanwhile, the board is being shown to our audience.
Barry and Graham are Cash and Carry. Cash and Carry.
Most of whom read the words on it so loud that I don't imagine this round is going to go on for very long.
Graham will define himself.
Yes. I'm the first of the pair. I'm mineral.
And I'm sort of abstract, really.
Are you solid, Graham?
Pretty.
I know yes. You're pretty, but are you solid?
It's about.
Would I eat you?
No.
Oh, come on.
Would I wear you?
No.
Could I suffer from the abstract? Acutely?
No, not unduly, no. I don't think so.
That's
at all.
That's a comfort in this day and age.
It is.
7 to go.
The two of you together weren't terribly funny, so...
No,
so it's quite serious.
Did you try to be, as a pair?
No. Very straight one, this.
Down goes Mike and Bernie Winters, then.
Oh, I don't know.
If it's mineral and abstract, could it be pith and wind? You said I couldn't suffer acutely from the abstract. That's right, and I do.
It could be pith and wind, but it isn't.
Well, you've had 4, but I think I'll hurry you along, so I'll say you've had
could
7.
Could we have a slightly... Could we have a clue of some sort?
Both words begin with the same letter.
Shopping.
Cod and chips.
Fish and pips.
Cod and chips is right.
The procedure undergone in the purchase of cod and chips is in fact germane to this subject.
Ah. How about cash and carry? I'm not taking this too seriously.
Yeah. Tim and Willie, after that laborious effort, it's your turn, and once again the audience will be shown your subject on the board.
And Tim and Willie are swallows and Amazons. Swallows and Amazons.
Slightly dirty.
Racy?
Slight risque.
And I shall be intrigued to see who takes which part in this one.
A clue?
A clue?
Will you define yourselves, please?
Animal.
Yes, that'll do.
Animals would help you further.
Yes, to help me more, I'm animals, with one missing.
One what missing?
Are they human animals?
One is.
One is.
I am.
I'm not.
You're getting warm, Tim and Willie. But it's Barry and Graham who are doing the guessing. Will you... Would you like to ask them some more questions?
Right, animals.
You better give them a clue.
Yeah.
Willie flies a bit, and it's also an action.
And you've got one missing.
Cock and bull.
I think we're given the same kind of clue that I gave you. They both start with different letters.
Now, narrowing it down.
Right open.
Oh, that's a bit of a giveaway, that.
I don't know, groups of animals.
Is
the word for the group of animals a word like herd or flock, or is it the name of the animals involved?
That's a silly question.
Beautifully put.
It's just animals. I mean, there they are.
Birds and bees.
That sort of thing it's like.
No.
Yeah, that's very surprisingly close when you hear the answer. Birds and bees, yes.
Do mine whistle? I can't remember.
Gulp.
I don't know, Willie.
Give us a tune and
swallows
let's see.
And Amazons. Swallows and Amazons.
Oh.
We go on to the blues round, and as this is the last program in the series, I'm going to introduce an additional rule here, and that is that I shall deduct 100 marks for any of the teams who start their blues with the words, "Woke up this morning." Barry and Graham, will you give Willie and Tim a subject for their blues, please?
Yes, we'd like to hear the inflation blues, please.
This afternoon, I was worrying about inflation. Yeah, then I packed 3 suitcases and headed off to the bus station. My wife cried. Silly bitch, I've got 3 suitcases stuffed with £10 notes and I'm going down to the supermarket to buy a small tin of carnation.
£18.5 blues. Historic.
I'll give you a minute or two to regain your composure, and then if you'll give Barry and Graham a subject for their blues, please.
The nudist camp blues.
Blues talk.
I went to sleep last night.
Yeah, man.
Dreaming about a nudist camp where I had been.
Of course,
where I had been.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah.
You know, I saw things there. that I never have seen. I'll tell you all about it, baby. The chef got danger money for frying sausages, you know what I mean.
Well, you'll all be waiting now to hear what the score is, and I took the precaution just before we went on the air to jot down that Tim and Willie have scored 83, Harry and Graham have scored 74. Right, we come now to the round which is called Bedtime Story. For this round, I want one of the members of a team to make up a bedtime story, and from time to time he'll give his partner a signal for a suitable sound effect to reinforce the dramatic effect of the narrative. For extra excitement, the person doing the effects will be wearing headphones with music playing to prevent him from hearing the story. And we have a table with sound effects right out here by this central microphone. And Willie and Tim, who's going to tell the story and who's going to do the sound effects?
I'm going to do sound effects. This is Tim speaking.
That leaves me telling the story.
So, with Tim to do the sound effects, Willie Rushton, will you tell a story about a dragon, a wooden leg, and a circular saw?
Oh, that one.
One fine day... Well, not that fine, but that's not... It was raining wooden legs. And Arnold, the friendly dragon, was sitting outside his cave, doing something naughty. All he wanted in life was a circular saw. The circular saw was a prize in a wonderful contest which the dragon was going to enter. You were to be fired from a cannon over Lord Goodman. Well, as you can hear, he made it. Admittedly, he fell on a Swiss gnome and broke a leg. But he was given a wooden one. With a built-in ejection seat. But there he sat with his nasty habit, his wooden leg, and his circular saw outside his cave. And every night he used to...
Never mind, Tim. We'll tell you about it afterwards. Now, Graham is coming out to do the sound effects for the other team, which leaves Barry behind to tell the story. Graham, will you put it on the headphones, please? Barry, will you tell a story about a little girl, a big boy, and a balloon?
You've been reading my mail again. Now, there was once a little girl called Charity. Charity Biggins was her full name. And she used to like... there, if you look for the missus. She used to like playing with her balloon in the street. Down at the other end of the street, at number 47, remember this, I'll be asking questions later, number 47 lived a little boy called Ronald. And Charity used to love to play with Ronald. They used to... play at adjudicating football matches. Charity wasn't like other girls. She'd always wanted to be a football referee, and Ronald, being desperately in love with her, had always encouraged this ambition. Charity, he used to say, you may become a football association referee and you'll know the joy of being abused and spat upon, and when you come out of grounds, people will go... but you won't. Then one day may dawn the day of the cup final, Charity, and they'll call it the FA Charity Cup after you. And you'll walk out on that pitch, and oh, the roar when that first goal is scored. But then, maybe the first offence, and you'll have to say to one of the players... Which is, of course, contained in the new FA rulebook. And furthermore, if there's any more of that, you will go off the field into the dressing room and... swallow your pride. And may only get a 3-match suspension. Otherwise, unless you've run out of sound effects, you naughty player, you may finish up as a... father of a large family.
Thank you, Barry and Graham. We go on to the round, which is, it says here, a musical round, and it's called Opera, and I want you teams in order to sing a snatch of grand opera from a selected passage from a couple of well-known, probably not so well-known, publications. Who wants to go first? As it's
they
the
do.
Last program, you can choose.
I can feel it.
Tim and Willie, you want to go first. Leon Cohen is going to provide the operatic introductions to Tim and Willie singing from the book called Yoga for Health.
Sit in the lotus or cross-legged position. Rest hands on knees.
On knees.
Or on floor behind you.
Behind.
To use abdominal muscles to contract. Abdomen. As far as possible, and hold for a second.
Ah!
Oh. Three. Attempt to snap abdomen out in a forceful movement.
Oh.
Snap. No.
Oh.
Repeat. Without pause.
Without pause.
Repeat.
Without pause.
Repeat.
Without pause.
Repeat. Without pause.
Repeat.
Without pause. Perform 10 times.
10 times.
And rest.
Repeat in groups of 10.
Repeat in groups of 10.
Okay, thank you, Tim and Willie. Now, Graham and Barry, your libretto is from The Highway Code.
Signals.
When indicators or stoplights are not fitted
or are faulty.
Also for use by pedal cyclists and those in charge of horses.
I want to go straight on.
I want to turn left.
I want to turn right.
I want to turn left.
I want to turn right.
Turn left.
Turn right.
Turn left.
Turn right.
Left.
Right.
Left.
Right.
Left.
Right.
Left. Right.
Left. Right.
Left. Right.
Give me some man who was out.
Well, this is the time in the program when I tiptoe away to the computer room at the BBC to work out the final score for the entire series. Meanwhile, the teams will give us their announcements for the late arrivals at the pharmacist's ball. And who's going to start?
From Wales, Mr. and Mrs. Tement and their son, Owen Tement.
Welcome, please, the distinguished Irish actor, T.C.P. McKenna.
The Oviaforms with a hideously bound child in Terror Oviaform.
Oh, welcome, please. Mr. and Mrs. Tuff. And their mama, Tuff. Sorry you had to leave so soon. All the way from Arabia. Shake well before using.
Welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Royds and their daughter, Emma.
A warm hand and a brown paper bag, please.
There is time.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Tick. And their daughter, Emma Tick. Oh, that makes you sick.
Well, at this point, ladies and gentlemen, we come rapidly to the rescue of the teams. I've been working out the final scores for the series.
Cabaret time, ladies and gentlemen. If I can get away with it. Will you welcome, please, Prin the Dissolving Donkey.
Well,
known as Soluble Ass Prin.
Yes!
Meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, there are some people who are waiting to hear the final score. And I think it'll surprise you. It's 12,864 to the ladies, 3 to the gentlemen. And we shall be back with you again if you don't watch out. So until then, from the teams and myself, goodbye.
William Rushton, Graham Garden, Barry Cryer and Tim Brooke Taylor were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Leon Cohen setting some of them to music. Production was by John Cassels.